Material supplied by VMS may be used for internal review, analysis, or research only. Any editing, reproduction, publication, rebroadcasting, public showing, internet, or public display is forbidden and may violate copyright law.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Gene Chatsky Show. We are on Oprah and Friends. So listen, this is not the area of technology, though, that I was so confused about that I booked a segment on it.
Yes.
Remember about, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months ago, there was that big article on Second Life.
Yes.
And we were all so distressed at the fact that people were creating these avatars for themselves to make themselves better versions of that. You know, everybody's mm-hmm. bionic in Second Life. Mm-hmm. You're the $6 million person. Well, it's gone another level. Turns out on sites like Second Life and on sites like Facebook, you can actually start a business. And I haven't quite figured out if in that business you sell real stuff or fake stuff, but people make real money. That much I've been able to sort of assess from different sorts of newspapers. And one of these business providers, the people that provide the framework for starting the businesses online in these virtual worlds, is a company called Lemonade. And their CEO is a guy named Tom Zawacki. And he is with me in the studio in New York today. Now, Tom, welcome to the Gene Chatsky Show. Did I just mispronounce your last name?
Hi, Gene. No, you nailed it.
Zawacki.
Yeah,
I got
thank
it.
You.
I got it. So Lemonade has been around. It's Lemonade Stand, right? Or Lemonade?
Lemonade is the name of the company. Lemonade.com is the website. And we've been around for only a few months. We launched October 1st of last year.
So I am very, very interested in sort of the evolution, not specifically of your company, but we'll get to that in a second, but the evolution of this whole, I'm late to the party, Second Life, Facebook. I just got on Facebook, and I'm getting a lot of emails from people, and also somebody wanted me on something called LinkedIn, which I think is kind of like Facebook, and now I'm getting lots of emails, and I'm going to have to stop the party, be shut it just down, because it's too much. But I definitely have gotten the sense that this is a much bigger thing than I am aware of.
It's a confusing marketplace. It really is, especially for people who haven't been in the Internet space for a long time. I spent a decade of my life building Internet experiences for Fortune 500 companies. And
when you say Internet experiences,
well,
what do you mean?
Anything from websites that allow you to buy airline tickets to websites that allow you to buy clothes from retailers and that type of thing. So e-commerce, entertainment, all of the stuff that's made the Internet what it is today. And the first 10 years of the Internet, really from 94 to 2004, were all about those Fortune 500 companies and the media companies out there building experiences for consumers that were based on their original businesses, whether that was ESPN.com entertaining somebody for sports or whatever it might be.
Or me doing my shopping at Gap.com rather than inside the Gap.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Now, the next 10 years of the Internet, and what we've seen over the last 3 years, is the emergence of the individual as an author of content. So you have blogs, mm-hmm. which you have, which is very interesting. You have social networking sites like Facebook and MySpace, where you have 60 million people on Facebook today. You have over 100 million people on MySpace who are creating pages based on their self-expression and connecting to their friends. And then you have personal websites that people are building for their families to share their lives with people. So there are over 150 million authors or individuals who have created content in these areas online today. Now, the interesting thing is that there is also, on the other side of the Internet, there continues to be about $150 billion in retail e-commerce that goes on, and that's reported by Forrester Research.
And at retail e-commerce, that's buying stuff.
From Gap.com, Amazon.com, JCPenney.com, whoever it might be.
Okay.
So there's $150 billion in retail e-commerce going on. There's another $20 billion in online advertising going on. All of that money, $170 billion, is being made by the media companies and the retailers and whoever it is. So you've got 150 or so million authors of content, which is the future of entertainment and content on the Internet. You've got $170 billion in commerce going on mm-hmm. in advertising. There's no connective tissue between the two. Those authors and those individuals aren't making any money.
Right, unless they're, you know, unless they're Arianna Huffington and have figured out a way to translate their ideas into a business model.
Exactly right. But I'm really talking about the average Joe, the me and you who are our friends who would be online and might have a Facebook profile or MySpace page or blog on that type of thing. The everyday person.
Okay. And so where do these virtual worlds actually fit into the picture?
Well, there's a difference between virtual worlds like Second Life, which Second Life and the idea of a virtual world has been around for about 15 years.
Really?
Where
were the first ones?
Oh, the gosh. Time Warner tested it a long time ago. AT&T tested it a long time ago. The issue back then was the bandwidth of the Internet wasn't there to support it.
Right, and your avatar would have had to be a stick figure.
Exactly. And the graphics capability of the computers that were being used weren't there to support it. So you had these very Atari-looking figures that were kind of, you know, blocking around the Internet. Today, with the high bandwidth penetration and with the higher graphics cards in computers, you have the ability to have a virtual world. So Second Life is kind of the more popular, most well-known virtual world. But that is very different because you're building an avatar and really actively building the world that you're entering into.
Mm-hmm.
Very different than the social networking sites.
Facebook and MySpace. And is LinkedIn one of those too?
LinkedIn is exactly right. LinkedIn is a social networking site, but it's specifically geared towards businesses and business people. So while Facebook has an 85% penetration into the U.S. college market, LinkedIn is much more business oriented, and that's why you're probably getting LinkedIn messages from your business colleagues who want to connect with you.
Right.
And that might be more appropriate for what you're looking to do, but two very different uses. So LinkedIn is all about business contacts. Facebook is all about your social contacts. You know, if I'm a senior at a college and I'm going home for Thanksgiving, one of the ways that I stay in touch with all of my friends is via Facebook.
Right. I mean, high school kids who are going away for the weekend let their friends know that they're going away for the weekend by posting something on their wall on Facebook. I'm getting the lingo. I'm doing my best. I know now that it's possible not only to have a profile, but to make some money on that space. When we come back, and we're going to take a break in just a second. When we come back, I want you to explain to me how that has come about, like how you actually do that, how much money is moving around, what's possible, what's legal, what's maybe not so legal, and how you would do it in the in the Facebook space versus the Second Life kind of a space. What's different about all of that? It's fascinating to me and completely perplexing, but I think I'm getting my hand around it. My guest, Tom Zawacki, is the co-founder and CEO of a company called Lemonade.com that provides the entree to these businesses. We will be back in just a second. It's Gene Chatsky on Oprah and Friends. We're back on Oprah and Friends. Tom Zawacki, co-founder of Lemonade, which is a company that provides business frameworks, business solutions for people who want to start their own businesses on the Internet, is with me in the studio explaining to me how all of this works. If I wanted to start, or more likely, if my 13-year-old wanted to start a business on his Facebook page, should I just say, no way, Jose, this is uncharted territory, or is this something that's happening all the time?
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm a high school baseball coach, so I deal with teenagers every day. And one of the things that you learn, I think, about teenagers is they're very smart. And they're going to find a way.
They're crafty and manipulative, too.
Absolutely. And so, you know, if we can encourage them to be responsible about starting a business online, it can be a very powerful moment for them. It teaches them the same life principles that we learned back when we were starting our lemonade stands of entrepreneurship or responsibility or diligence. So I would counsel any parent to work with their teen online to help them set up a business and listen to them.
Take me through it step by step, whether it's my teen or whether it's me. Let's say I make the best, and I actually do, make the best banana bread on the planet. Now, I know there are lots of restrictions about what you're allowed to do in your home kitchen, but let's just pretend those don't exist. I want to sell my banana bread.
Well, if you're selling your own products, your own products that you're making at home, then you're going to go to something that's very simple, like maybe a Yahoo Shopping or a small eBay store, and set up those types of stores for yourself to sell your own products. One of the interesting things, I think, that when you look at starting a business online is the technologies that we've been talking about, Facebook and MySpace, they enable an age-old factor in making a purchase decision, which is word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Before there was advertising, before there was TV, if you had a bar of soap or detergent that cleaned your family's laundry...
We're not having an earthquake. We should just tell everybody. We live at Jazz at Lincoln Center here in our studios, and they load shows in and out, so Wynton Marsalis must be having a party.
No, I didn't have breakfast. That was my stomach.
Okay.
I apologize. It's my fault. But word of mouth, I mean, you know, the way that brands were built, the way that products were sold before there were communications platforms, was your neighbor came to you and said, I just washed my husband's clothes and he finally smells good. This detergent is Ivory soap and it's great detergent. Go use it. Now, these communications platforms, the technology, just enables that on a global basis. It gives you access to a global community who are sharing their word of mouth. And Forrester Research tells us that word of mouth is the number one reason for making an online purchase.
So when people start spreading the word online in their blogs about the fact that my banana bread is better than anybody else's.
Exactly.
That's when it will take off.
That's right. That's right. And you probably have a sphere of influence over your friends. You probably have in certain areas, probably, but if you're using, let's say that you have kids, and let's say that way back when you were into the McLaren stroller,
mm-hmm.
and you said, this is the safest stroller for my child, and it's got the cup holder, and I love it. I absolutely love it. You're going to tell all of your girlfriends.